Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So you're in the office, you left your lunch in the fridge, and you come back and you realize, oops, it's gone. Perhaps there's a fairly affordable pair of sunglasses that you've been wearing, and you left them on your table, and next thing, perhaps they grew feet. Or maybe you are the employer. You happen to sell goods from your store, and one of your employees actually eats some of the stock. Does it matter in terms of the context and understanding of the reasoning behind this particular petty crime? And is this a consequence and reasonable enough for a dismissal from the workplace? So what we're looking to determine from today's conversation is, does the value of the financial loss to the individual or offended party outweigh the productivity and the impact that that person has on the business? Or is it a matter of principle that theft is theft, stealing is stealing, lying is lying, and for that, you will then be dismissed from your role and operations, despite how else it is that you contribute to the workplace? Sounds like a perplexing issue, and I guess this is one that often needs some rules and guidelines, because depending on your personality type, you might be very technical and binary about it, or perhaps having taken on a bit more of a diplomatic view in terms of looking at the context and circumstance and treating it as a bespoke approach. But someone who knows all about this, especially when it comes to employee relations, is Senior Employee Relations Specialist Kagiso Lebete, who joins us on the show tonight. Kagiso, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Good evening, Gugu. Good evening to your listeners. I hope I am fairly audible.
Oh, loud and clear. Thankfully, we can hear you loud and clear. So thank you for joining us today. I guess first things first, this one is quite interesting because to you and I, or maybe depending on the scale of which, we often think of petty crimes, right? And we know that the law deals with that. But how, I guess, are petty offenses measured, viewed within the workplace? And are they prevalent, really, for them to be noted, essentially?
I think one of the first considerations one would need to make is the fact that theft is accepted as one of your more red flag type of offenses, because they go to the heart of the employment relationship, and they go to the dishonesty aspect. And typically any offense which carries with it an element of dishonesty and the breach of that element would, in all likelihood, result in it being regarded as a offense that one may be dismissed for at first offense. Now, the trick with, or I think the complexity with theft is that the value of an item is always brought into the picture. For example, you may work in a retail environment and you find that an employee has, for example, stolen a fruit valued at 3-5 rand, and the retailer may want to discipline their employee for theft and seek to impose the ultimate sanction of dismissal because of the principle that if I allow someone to steal something of value such as 5 rand, I would then be opening up myself to risk of other more valuable items being stolen. Hence, a lot of employers adopt a rather simplistic approach and say, it is a red flag offense. It does go to the crux of the employment relationship. I cannot have an employee in my employ who conducts themselves in such a manner, so I'm going to follow a fair disciplinary process. If the employee is found guilty, I will then recommend that they be dismissed. Mm-hmm. That is following a very safe, a very black and white approach in dealing with offenses of theft in nature within the workplace.
Mm. I'm so glad you mentioned this, because then I guess this is also where the various examples come up. So perhaps if someone left, like I said, a pair of sunglasses, yes, they might have been a lot more affordable than the average, but they disappear. It speaks to the heart of the issue being theft. Trust is essentially being eroded, and one could be dismissed. What happens in the case of perhaps goods and services that might be viewed by the person who conducted the theft as a necessity for them at the time? When we talk about food, maybe printing paper for your child at school, taking some stationery to help your child at school. Do those kind of circumstances often feature? And how then is that interpreted if the context that is shared by the employee who's the offender happens to be one that speaks to some sensitivities?
And, you know, Gugu, you'd be surprised to know that we'll find out that such offenses happen more often than you think, especially when it comes to stuff like stationery, office supplies, smaller what you may regard or what someone may regard as something fairly minuscule. I mean, I've personally had to intervene in a situation where the employer used to provide biscuits for meetings with external service providers or external individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And the very same biscuits that were being provided for those meetings, some employees were then helping themselves to those very biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an argument is made that, listen, there's a financial cost to this, and it ultimately impacts the business. And because it is without authorization, it can be regarded as theft.
Mm-hmm.
But what the courts and what the commission has ultimately said is that there are no clear, hard and fast rules or sanction of a dismissal in the case of theft. And one would need to present an argument that says, this is why we as an employer are of the opinion that this offense should carry a recommended sanction of a dismissal. If you are unable as an employer to justify why the sanction should be one of a dismissal, taking into account the circumstances. For example, you could be dealing with an employee that's been with the business for 30, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a clean disciplinary record and they had two biscuits during the board meeting's lunch break. It's a very serious offense in the context, but I mean, are we really going to dismiss this individual?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there is this consideration of the aggravating and the mitigating factors, which is prescribed, by the way, by the Code of Good Practice on dismissal in the Labor Relations Act, to say consider the aggravating and mitigating factors, and that which weighs more than the other is what is to be imposed as a sanction. But ultimately, the default approach is, if you're going to be charged with theft, if you are found guilty, more often than not, an employer can or may recommend a sanction of dismissal, and there is a very high probability that they can defend that if it goes to the CCMA.
Wow, got you. An interesting one. What happens perhaps if it is an item of value and it can be, I guess there's other forms of recourse in terms of reimbursement, or the employee says, hold on, I'll actually just pay for this item, or are those ever alternatives, or is it called remediation that one can actually pursue? Remedies, right?
Typically that would be regarded as a mitigating factor, because the fact that the employee agrees to pay back the item or replace the item or put back the money that they took from the petty cash or the funds that were transferred from the company's bank account to their friend's bank account or whatever the case may be, that ultimately is a mitigating factor. The
mm-hmm.
fact of the matter is that the misconduct has been committed. The company has a discretion to follow a disciplinary process, and chances are, if found guilty, you may be dismissed. I mean, there are other avenues that the employer can use to try and recover said monies through the signing of an acknowledgement of debt, or if the employee does not agree to sign an acknowledgement of debt and the employer cannot deduct said monies from the remuneration, they could write to the pension fund and say, listen, please withhold paying out to this individual's pension fund benefits because of this act of misconduct that we want to take civil action for. And then the pension fund needs to then make a determination. Is this valid? Is this reasonable? Are there reasonable prospects of success? And then they can exercise their discretion to withhold the payment of the pension fund benefits. So there is recourse here and there that the employer can rely on, but typically even offering to pay or to reimburse the company really does not take away from the fact that the misconduct has been committed.
Mm. So essentially, if I'm understanding you correctly, if there's misconduct of theft, essentially your employer has the right to dismiss you. Yes, there might be various cases you can bring forward or examples to bring a better understanding to the context, but theft does really speak at the heart of the issue around mistrust and misdemeanor, which could compromise the company at a bigger scale, which is what they'll try to avoid, and that can lead to termination. If this does lead to a termination of contract, how often have we seen affected and impacted employees then fighting this in the CCMA?
Well, I think there's quite a high number of employees who refer such matters to the CCMA. As to whether they're successful or not is a different consideration altogether. But you do find employees referring a matter to the CCMA, maybe typically to challenge probably the type of evidence that was led. If you do get instances where the employees are challenging the fact that there was no direct evidence linking them to this misconduct, maybe there was circumstantial evidence or whatever the case may be. But there is a high number of employees who are turning to the CCMA in an attempt to try and get some sort of maybe financial compensation or some sort of benefit from the whole process, because you do find employers who really do not want to go through a CCMA process and would rather just pay off an employer's nuisance value to say, listen, we'll give you 2 weeks, just get us out of the CCMA. We're not going to be here for 2-3 days arguing a case that we're going to win. We've got better things to do at the time. But what I advise is that, listen, as an employer, you have a principled stance to take, and if you have a case that you can defend at the CCMA, I would rather have that case be defended, lead your evidence, get the award in your favor, so that even the employees back at the ranch are aware of the fact that, listen, our employer is not going to back down from such, and he won't cower down to our threats of going to the CCMA. So where a fair process has been followed, where a fair reason has been advanced for the recommendation of a dismissal, I would advise an employer just to go the whole hog and defend the matter.
This is so intriguing. An interesting question that's also come through from one of our listeners is one that actually asks, in the case of theft, does the employer have to report this matter to the police in order to have a case number?
Typically not. A case number is not required for an internal process, but there are instances where an employer would want to refer a matter to or open up a criminal case, especially when there's a very high value, or they may be investigating the existence of a syndicate, or there is a probable cause for criminal conduct. So, one would, as an employer, want to open a criminal case if they want to pursue that kind of legal action, or there may be an insurance claim that has to be put in that requires a case number to be opened. But for internal purposes, if an employer wants to take disciplinary action against an employee, there is no necessity for a case number. It could strengthen the case in some way, but really its absence does not really weaken the employer's case in any way.
And I guess it's, as you say, it speaks to the admin, the process. So it would really have to be quite a substantial level of theft in order for this to be reported to the police. And are there, I guess, qualifying criteria in order to measure what would be, quote unquote, a petty theft in the workplace that one could still get dismissed for versus a more egregious theft of, corruption, malfeasance, fraud, and, lack of governance that we would see businesses taking accountability for? Is there a thin line, or are the rules and regulations quite cut and dry?
It's largely at the discretion of the employer, Google, especially when one is to consider the impact of this misconduct, both financially, reputationally. What is the value? What is the general perception within the organization of this particular instance of theft, and how one as an employer would seek to deal with it? So the discretion largely lies with the employer to say, this is the impact that this act of misconduct has had on the organization, and this is what we propose is the most appropriate way to deal with this level of misconduct. Because ultimately, discipline management in an organization is corrective and progressive. We try and correct the behavior and not only come down as punitive, but some instances warrant a more punitive approach. But one needs to consider the impact and the context of the misconduct.
If you've just joined us, we're having a phenomenal conversation with our guest this evening, Kabelo Lebete, who joins us as a senior employee relations specialist, helping us contextualize just how exactly theft in the workplace might be viewed. And theft, very broad theme and term that we're using. But as we know, sometimes in the workplace, you hear of stories where employees might have stolen a pie just to eat because they were hungry, but happened to work for one of the biggest retailers in the country, or staff as well who might steal a cool drink or some beverages after a Christmas party which they weren't supposed to. Or maybe a colleague left some sunshades and spectacles in the office and you decided, oh well, it's been here for a while, I think I might take it. So broad and wide, but really taking a look at the ramifications of what you might view as minor theft as a minor misdemeanor, but could actually catch up with you in the meantime. We are going to take two more questions just to share with Kagiso on this matter. So I guess, Kagiso, as you've mentioned, this really does speak to the policies. The laws do provide clarity that an employer can view this matter very seriously, and one could actually face dismissal. And sometimes a dismissal is really trying to avoid a lot of unnecessary drama by avoiding also going through to the CCMA. But a twofold question for those who might be HR managers, human capital development, essentially people responsible for people management in the workplace and the policies that speak to them. Depending on the sector that you're in, do we need to look at creating bespoke approaches to the company policies we have? And in turn, how does that speak to our conduct as staff and employees in the workplace and how we need to show up?
I typically, or I almost always refer to employee learning and development, employee upskilling, and always bringing the employees into the context of the organization too, so that employees understand the impact of their actions on the broader business as a whole, and not only view their conduct or their contribution in isolation or in the silo within which they operate. Once employers are able to communicate this kind of message to the employees, as well as the general training around policies and procedures and what is to be done in specific instances, that then allows employees to then be in a better decision-making position and also not then find themselves at fault in terms of this type of misconduct. Because ultimately, like I say, any employer can justify that any type of theft should be a dismissible offense. In as much as any employee can come and argue that, but listen, the fact that I may have taken this fruit, the fact that I may have taken this pie, or the fact that I may have taken this item that was marked down for sale at Tourette, whatever the case may be, is a drop in the ocean, taking into account the fact that I operate within a multi-million rand kind of entity. So once we contextualize your role in this company and its impact on the broader scheme of operations as a whole, it helps us as HR, HCE practitioners and specialists to also then assist employees in terms of making better decisions around how they carry themselves in the organization. And it also spills over to general conduct when you're wearing company uniform, how to present yourself in the public space. It spills over to a lot of other areas than just the management of discipline within the workplace, because then people understand the role that they play within an organization and the perception that they create either in public and or within the organization. And that for me is a very big thing that is missing in a lot of organizations, just positioning employees within the bigger value chain of the business. That goes a long way in assisting and helping with discipline management.
Definitely. Woo, new lessons, hey? So next time we're at that Christmas party, or when the board comes in for a meeting and there's some wonderful choice assorted biscuits there, just be mindful that you can't just necessarily stick your fingers in there and decide, ah, it's just a can of cool drink. Ah, it's just a biscuit. Ah, it's just some stationery. They'll understand. And I think what you're also highlighting is the need for us as well as employees to be open in terms of full disclosure, to actually request to seniors in the business to say, look, how about you help us out with this? How about you, do assist us with issues that might impact the reality of our livelihoods as employees and have that be addressed adequately? Such a pleasure speaking to you as always, Kage. So you've really educated us on this one today.
No, thank you very much for having me, Google. Have a good evening, and a good evening to your listeners.
Fantastic. Thank you. That is Kagiso Lebete, who joins us as a senior employee relations specialist, giving us some perspective here on how to manage and witness the dynamics, right, that we do see in terms of labor relations. So petty crime or petty theft in the workplace, not so petty, especially if it can still cost you your job.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.